Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's just praise Him tonight. Let's just love Him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to fly. I'm getting ready to fly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes I feel like I'm getting ready to fly, but I'm not. I'm only in training. Amen. I'm only in training. I'm in flight school. And one of these days I'm going to spread my wings to worship Him, and I'm just going to go right on up. Right on up. Glory, and all that training of praising and worshiping is going to come in handy when I spread my wings, hallelujah, and fly up to meet my Savior. Glory to God. Oh, I feel something in here tonight. My. Hallelujah. 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 I feel streams of glory in this place. Streams of glory in this place. Power. Power. The same thing that was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. I feel the same thing here in Norwich, Connecticut. Glory. Who knows? Who knows? This may be the night. This may be rapture night. This may be rapture day. We might not be practicing. We might be getting ready to fly away. This might be it. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. My hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I tell you, there's a hunger. There's a hunger in New England. There's a hunger in New England. And I just wish that this hunger was everywhere. And Brother Jack, he said, I'm going to bring some people with me. And my brought in a whole bunch of people with him. You know, and down home we got to beg and plead and drag and chain and everything to get people to come to church. And there's a true hunger here in the New England states. And, oh my, we are just sitting on a keg of dynamite that's about ready to explode. I can feel a tremor of a volcano that's about ready to erupt. I can feel the tremor. And it's going to erupt. And it's going to spew Holy Ghost fire all over the New England states. Maybe all over the United States. All over the world. Everywhere. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I'll tell you what, I'm a bragging preacher. And by that, when I have a good revival, I brag about it. When I go back home, I'm going to brag about New England. I'm going to brag about Brother Rutledge. I'm going to brag about the church at Norwich. I'm going to tell them what a great revival we had and what a good time we had. And before you know it, every evangelist in the country is going to be knocking on your door. You watch. You watch. Amen. Boy, I feel the presence of the Lord. Isn't He good tonight? I just want to get a hold of this spirit that we feel tonight, and I want to hold on to it. And never ever let go. Never ever let go of this power of the living God. Isn't He precious tonight? Tonight I'm going to read a passage of Scripture from the book of Job. The first chapter in the 20th verse. And the title of my text tonight, if I were to give it a title, is very plain and very simple. As a matter of fact, it only consists of two words. Hold on. Hold on. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would continue to bless this congregation tonight, God. Move on every heart, every mind, and every soul. Lord, let us reach out and get a hold of something, God. And let us get such a grasp on it that we will never let go. That we will hold on to this Pentecostal experience. We'll hold on to this Holy Ghost experience. And no matter what comes our way, oh God, that we will never, ever let go of it. But we'll hold on. We'll hold on to the end. And that we'll never, ever let go. And we'll not fail to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. And everyone said, Job 1 and 20. Then Job arose and rent his clothes and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You may be seated. There came a time when the sons of God presented themselves before the throne of God. And as they came before the throne of God, one came with them by the name of Satan. And the Lord looked down at this spirit, he looked at this devil, and he said, Satan, wherefore comest thou? He said, from going to and fro in the earth, from going up and down in it. He said, have you considered my servant Job, one that loves God and escheweth evil, an upright man, a perfect man? He said, yes, I've considered your servant Job, and I've also seen the head you've placed around and about him. He said, I'll tell you what, God, you let that hedge down and he'll curse you to your face and die. God decided to test Job, and he let the hedge down, and Satan went from before the Lord to Job to tempt him. Now, I remember reading in the first book of Samuel where David began to play his harp before Saul, and the Bible said an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul. And I used to wonder, how in the world could a spirit from the Lord be evil? I mean, anything from the Lord is good. His spirit is good and righteous. And yet here in the Word of God, it said an evil spirit from the Lord. I said, how can God's spirit be evil? And one day it dawned on me, here in the account of Job, in the scenario that we have cast out tonight, the spirit of Satan came before the Lord. And by the permission of God, he came from the Lord. He came from the Lord to Job. Now that was not God's spirit, but it was a spirit from the Lord, permitted from the Lord. That spirit came from before Jehovah, and Jehovah allowed him to go forth. And he went to Job. Now here we find one day Job is in his house, and his elder sons are in their house eating and drinking. There came a knock on the door. Job rushed open the door, and there was one of the men servants. And that man servant says, listen, Job, I've got some bad news to tell you, but today we were watching over your oxen, and the oxen and the she asses and oxen were both plowing together in the field, and those Chaldeans came out of the wilderness and stole them and killed your men servants, and I'm the only one left to tell about it. Well, no sooner had he spoke, another knock on the door. Job jumps up and answers to the door, and there's another manservant. He says, Job, listen, I've got some news for you. Today we were watching over your sheep, and all of a sudden we don't know where it came from, but a ball of fire appeared out of heaven and consumed all your sheep and all the manservants. I'm the only one left to tell about it. Another knock on the door. Job jumps up and opens the door, and there's another servant. Job, I've got some bad news. You'll never guess what happened today. Job says, well, let's hear it. Today we were watching over your camels, and those Sabians came in bands of three, and they stole all your camels, killed your men servant, and I'm the only one left to tell about it. You know, when you get to this point, you just feel like giving up. It just seemed like Job's whole life had just caved in on him. Nothing worse could happen. He gets up and he answers the door. And there's a servant. The servant says, Job, I've got some bad news for you. But today your sons and daughters were in their elder brother's house eating and drinking. And a wind came out of the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And Job, I just don't know how to tell you this. But Job, your sons and your daughters, they're dead. They're dead. The Bible does not say that Job cursed God. The Bible does not say that Job threw up his hands and gave up. But the Bible said that he rent his mantle and he fell on his face and he worshiped. He worshiped. He worshiped. In your life when trouble's going to come knocking on your door and you're not going to know which way to turn. Friend, don't you complain, but lift up your hands and worship. 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 Hallelujah. It may seem like depression is hanging over you like an old gray cloud and anxiety's on every hand, but friend, don't stick your head in a hole in the ground, but lift up your hands and worship and praise and glorify your Creator. And when you lift your hands and glorify Him, He said, I'm going to inhabit you. I'm going to inhabit you. I'll inhabit the praises of my people. Oh, I don't know where my next pen is coming to pay the rent. I don't know how I'm going to make my car payment. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And they're getting ready to turn off my telephone. But I'm not going to complain. And I'm not going to cry. And I'm not going to bellyache around. But I'm going to lift my hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you're about to do. For the prayers you're about to answer. I know you're going to do it. And I'm going to praise you in advance. Hallelujah. Glory. The Bible said that he worshipped. He worshipped and he praised God. And along comes Job's wife. And she said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Oh, listen, I don't want you to think that that was his wife's thought. That was not her plan. Remember, just a few verses before, the devil told God that he would curse God. So guess where that thought came from? Job's wife came and said, why don't you just curse God and die? And I've heard so much about Job's wife. How mean she was, how cruel she was, and what a bad woman she was. But you wait a minute. Just wait 1 second. You remember something tonight. Job was not the only one that lost his home. When Job lost his home, so did Job's wife. Job was not the only one that lost his prosperity. When Job lost his prosperity, so did Job's wife. Job was not the only one that lost his children. Those children also belong to Job's wife. She gave them birth. She gave them suck. She mopped their fevered brow when they were sick with fever. She raised them. Those were her children, her beloved. Job wasn't the only one that lost. So did Job's wife. But there's one difference between Job and Job's wife. Job held on. His wife didn't. Now, we come to the end of the Scripture in the book of Job. And we find that Job was blessed with twice as much as what he had before. But friend, not only did Job have twice as much, so did Job's wife. Now, wait a minute, preacher. That doesn't make sense. Why should Job's wife have twice as much? She failed God. She didn't hold on. Why should she be blessed? Because somebody held on for her. My son, Brother Ward, is out on drugs, and I'm afraid he's going to get killed. He's going to end up in prison. He won't pray. He won't seek God. But friend, he may be saved if somebody will hold on for him. My husband's an alcoholic. I don't know if I can ever reach him. Somebody's got to hold on for that husband. Somebody's got to hold on for those children. Somebody's got to hold on for that mama or that father or that sister or that brother. Somebody has to hold on. I thank God that when I was in a condition, when I was in the world, they didn't give up on me. They didn't say He's beyond help. He's beyond repair. He's not able to be salvaged. But somebody held on in prayer. Somebody knelt. Somebody prayed. Somebody held on to God. And one day I came to an altar of prayer and I was blessed with twice as much as I ever held before. Not because I held on, but somebody held on for me. Glory. Glory. Now once you come into the church, don't expect someone else to hold on for you. Because once you get inside the ship, once the lifesaver has been thrown to you, and you get on board, you have got to hold on to what you've got a hold of. Amen. Glory. Glory. Oh, but Brother Wood, I don't know if I can be a soul winner. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can reach out to this world that's falling in the Stygian darkness of night. This world that's running after the flamboyant flames of the world. Looking after all of the beautiful things of this earthly existence. And here I am, just a little peon. I don't know, Brother Wood, if I can do it. There's a story, a true story, many years ago of a young man. This young man was just a little, to use the colloquial phrase, was just a little old raggle tag. Came into a certain city seeking employment. Came to an old farmer and just a little old raggle tag, and he said, "Sir, I'd like to work on your farm." And the farmer sized him up and he thought, "My, I don't know, but I'll give him a chance." He said, "I'll tell you what, son, I'll let you work for me a couple weeks, but you can't stay in my house. You can sleep out there in the barn in top of the hayloft." So the boy said, "Well, that's okay, that's okay." So he would work hard all day, and at night he would crawl up on top of that hayloft. He would reach in his pocket and he'd take out his old pocket knife, and there was a big old wooden beam above the hayloft. And he would carve each night in that beam, carving his name, working on one letter each evening, just working and carving. Couple weeks went by, and the farmer one day looked at the little old poor raggle-tag, worthless little boy. He said, "Son, I'm sorry, you're just not going to work out. I've got to let you go." The boy hung his head, and he turned around to walk away from that farmer. And as he began to walk down that country road, that farmer just shook his head and said, "That old raggle-tag will never amount to anything." Years went by. Time transpired. One day that old farmer, for one reason or another, he thought, "I'll climb up in that old hayloft to take care of something." Climbed up in that hayloft, and lo and behold, there was that big beam where the little boy years ago had carved his name. And that farmer was astonished to read these words, "Franklin D. Roosevelt." You can do anything that you think you can do. You can accomplish anything that you make up your mind to accomplish. Nothing is too great that you cannot do it. Oh, he was worthless. He was nothing. Just a raggle tag. But somewhere deep down inside of him, he found a faith in himself. He found a faith. He found a confidence that I can do whatever I set my mind to do. Tonight, with the power of God, you can do more than that. You can be more than conquerors. You can spread your wings as an eagle and fly to the highest mountain, and nothing, nothing, nothing shall be impossible unto you. What is faith? Faith is taking hold of nothing until it becomes something. Reaching out to that which you cannot see and holding on until you visibly can see it. A woman one time read in the scripture where it said you can say to this mountain, "Move to yonder place," and it's going to remove. And between her and the nearest city, there was this big, huge mountain. And in order to get over that mountain, it took, I guess, several days, maybe even weeks, I don't know. But she got down and she prayed. She said, "Lord, you said in your word that you could move mountains, and I'm believing that you're going to move that mountain." She got down and prayed. The next morning she got up, pulled back her curtain. Mountain was still there. What do you think she did? She got down again that night and said, "Oh God, move that mountain." Got up the next morning, pushed back the curtain. The mountain was still there. You know what faith is? Holding on. Holding on. She got down again that night. She didn't give up, but she held on. She got down again. She said, "Oh God, I believe you're going to move that mountain." She got down and she began to pray. God moved that mountain. Got up the next morning, moved back the curtain, and that mountain was full of bulldozers and earth-moving machines. They put through a freeway and they moved that mountain. They moved it. You say, "Brother Ward, I don't know if I can do it." Listen, with God, all things are possible. If we'll only reach out and hold on, hold on, hold on. The Holy Ghost said there may be times that you'll feel like giving up and it feels like you can't take another step. Friend, take a hold of that nail-scarred hand and don't ever let go. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Peter looked out across the waters and he saw someone that was walking and they cried out, "It's a ghost." And someone said, "Well, he made a mistake. It wasn't a ghost." I disagree with that. It was a ghost. It was the Holy Ghost manifest in flesh. And there he was walking on the waters. And the Lord said, "Come." And Peter thought, "Now I've never done this before. See, I've never walked on waters. I've never seen anyone do it. And I don't know if I can do it. But there's one thing I do know. Jesus is doing it. And if Jesus can do it and he tells me to come, I know I can do it too. He's already been there. He's already walked it. If he can walk it, I can walk it. If he can do it, I can do it. Because he's a man of flesh and blood walking on the water." Listen, friend, if Jesus could live this life, you can live this life. If he could make it, you can make it. If he could do it, you can do it. You can. You can do it. And you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. By the grace of Almighty God, we're going to make it. We're not losers. We're winners. I'm not looking backward. I'm looking forward. They might say you're going to lose, but I look in the back of the book, honey. We win. You'll never find a Christian down. You'll never find him down. You'll either find him up or getting back up, but you'll never find him back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul was on that road to the island of Malicia. Oh, but let me finish. I don't want to leave Peter standing there on the water. Hallelujah. There he was, and he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. But he could walk as long as he kept his eyes on the Word. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That was the Word walking on the waters. And as Peter kept his eye on the Word, he could perform miracles. But when he took his eyes off the Word, he began to sink. Listen, people, we need to get our eye on the Word. We need to keep our eye on the Word. We need to walk toward the Word. We need to live the Word. We need to breathe the Word. Hallelujah. I want you to notice that thing that was conceived in Mary was the Word. And 9 months later, she produced the Word. She brought forth the Word. And if we got the same Holy Ghost that came on Mary, we're not going to produce anything less than Mary produced. We're going to produce the Word. He began to sink. And lo and behold, even though he took his eyes off Jesus, down came that hand again. Down came that hand again. Even though he stumbled, even though he looked off to the side, there came that hand and lifted him up out of the water and put him back on top. Sometimes you may feel like you're sinking, but look up, friend. He's going to put you on top again. Paul was on that ship, headed for the island of Malicia. And the Bible sent a wind by the name of Euclidon. Began to hit that ship. Began to beat it. Picked up the waves of the ship and beat against the sides and the hulls of the ship. Until that ship began to sink. And as that ship began to sink, falling apart, shattered, everyone thought, "We're done for. We've drowned it." But Paul grabbed a hold of one of the broken pieces of that ship. And Paul held on. He held on. He held on. And he floated to the island of Malicia and was saved. Tonight, your ship may be broken. Your dreams may be shattered. But people grab a hold of one of the shattered, broken pieces of your shattered dreams and hold on. Don't ever give up. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Let's stand and reach out toward heaven tonight. As the musicians come forward, as the musicians come forward, I can't let go. I can't let go. I can't let go. I've got to hold on. I've got to hold on. I've got to hold on. Oh, when the winds blow and the waves are high, I've got to hold on. When it seems my ship is sinking and my ship is shattered, I've got to grab hold of one of the broken pieces, and I must hold on to Jesus. I must hold on to Jesus. I must hold on to Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory. Hallelujah. If there's someone here tonight and you feel like your ship is grounded, you feel like you're shipwrecked and your dreams are shattered and broken and bruised and hurt. When Jesus hung on the cross, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Wall, but when Jesus was on the cross, He was cut. He was bleeding. He was marred more than any man, and He was bruised. But friend, not one bone in His body was broken. Not one bone in His body was broken. Brother, they can cut you. They can scar you. They can bruise you. But there's a will they'll never be able to break. They'll never be able to break you. You can bleed, you can bruise, you can hurt, but they'll never break you. They'll never bring you down. They'll never defeat you. Bruised, yes, but broken, never. You got the power. You got the power. Just reach out and hold on. Hold on. Don't ever let go. Hold on.
Victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. Oh, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Oh, He loved me and I knew Him, and all my life is due Him. Hallelujah! He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Now tonight, we have heard something that should give everybody in this place hope. No matter what's happening in your life, you should have hope. Now, if you can have faith with that hope, you can receive something that you can hold on to that will carry you all the way through to the complete victory that you're longing for down deep inside. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Tonight I'd like to ask you, is there anybody they would like to come to the front tonight, no matter what your experience with God is, no matter where you are in your relationship with God, we can always use another strong hold, a firm, gripping hand holding on to God, renewed. Maybe you slipped. Maybe you become discouraged. But something down inside of you says, I won't quit. And tonight you want to take a hold again. You want to take a hold again. Who would like to come and stand up here and say, count me in on this. Count me in on this. Yes, sir. Come on and stand here. Hallelujah. Come on. Anybody that wants to. Praise God. I want to take a hold. No matter what your understanding is in the Word of God, God understands all about you. He knows all about you, and He knows where you're coming from. He loves you, and He has something for you to hold on to. He'll give you what you need to hold you until He can give you more to hold you. Till He gives you more to hold you. Until you get established where you can never fall. You'll be established on a solid rock, a firm foundation. Hallelujah! Tonight, would you just reach out for Him with your heart? Tell Him in your own way, God, I want to take a hold of You. In Jesus' name. If you have sin in your life, confess it to Jesus. He's the high priest. He's the one who forgives. He's the one who erases it, puts it away from you. Hallelujah. You don't have to hold on to your past. Hold on to Jesus. Start a new life. Hallelujah. Turn around. Walk a new direction, holding to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, just call on Him right now. Everybody, talk to Jesus. Talk to the Lord in your own way. Hallelujah, God, we need You. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we need You. Just take a hold of it with all your heart. Wherever you are in the building, you don't have to be up here to hold on to God. Right where you stand, right where you sit, in your heart. Just breathe a prayer to God, and He'll hear you. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord God. Lord, I need you to lift me up. I found myself sinking. I needed something to hold me. I needed something to pull me. I looked in the wrong direction and got my mind off of You. Got my eyes off of You. But Lord, I'm looking to You now. I'm looking to You, God. Reach down and take a hold of me, Lord. My hands are reaching up to You. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm reaching up to You, God. But Lord, I can't do this by myself. I don't have the strength, God, without Your strength. I can't walk in this impossible situation unless You give me the strength to walk here, Lord. I'm depending on You, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Hallelujah.